See, somebody got rid of our stick pin on the microphone. That's pretty nice. Got a clip again. Don't have to stick myself every time I hook up. I thought I had my message all planned for this week. It was going to be on giving, and the Lord changed my mind this Friday night as I was in the Word. So I brought it. I've come with a different message, and it's the title of it is "The Day of the Lord." You know, in the Scripture, we see and we hear a lot about the Day of the Lord, and the Second Coming. It's called the Great Day, the Day of Judgment. There's just a lot of things it's called, and there's some things that He wants us to know about the Day of the Lord. And so we're going to be sharing on that this morning. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for our time together. I thank You, Lord, that You do still speak to us today. Father, that we can hear Your voice and understand what You're saying. And Father, that You speak to us through Your Word. And Lord, as we come today, I ask, Father, that You will speak through me. That they'll not hear me, but Lord, that they'll hear You speaking to the church today. And Lord, that we'll have ears to hear what You have to say to the church. Father, that we'll pay attention to who You are and what You are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin today in Malachi, the last chapter, chapter 3 of Malachi. Actually, it's not the last chapter, but it is. It is chapter 4. Yep, chapter 4 of Malachi. If you want to look in the Word with me and follow along, I'm going to be in 1 through 6. And in mine, here it is entitled, "The Day of the Lord." And it says, "Surely the day is coming." Okay, we know that the second coming of Christ is going to happen because it says so in Scripture. God has never lied. He's never... Everything that He's proclaimed has come to pass. If you look back through history... First of all, He spoke the very world into existence. When God speaks, things happen. And He spoke through the prophets and said that He would be coming again. The second coming would be happening. And the day of the Lord is coming, it says. And it says it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant, every evildoer will be stubble. That day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. And I can get a good picture of this because we always raised cows and calves at home. And when you have the calves in the barn all year, and then you turn them out in the spring, and they're just jumping and leaping all over the place. They just have a good time when they go out in the pasture, and it says that's what we're going to be like. We're going to be leaping and rejoicing and having a good time because of the healing. It says, then you will trample down the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law, my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So before the day of the Lord comes, before that final day, He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Probably all of us in here know somebody where a father and a son are enemies or in enmity with one another. It happens all over. And I can see, according to the Word, that that's going to change. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Let's go back to up to chapter John now, or the Gospel of John, and verse 14. And in John 14, he's telling us to not let our hearts be troubled. We don't need to be afraid. And I don't know how many of you grew up with in fear of what's coming. There was a while that the second coming scared me. I wasn't sure that I was ready. And now I am, I'm sure. And I want to make sure that you guys are sure as well. I want you to be confident in your salvation, to know beyond a doubt that when Jesus comes for the church, that you'll be ready to go with Him. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to be anxious about it. Our hearts don't have to be troubled. In the first verse here of chapter 14, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me." And this is Jesus talking here, and He's comforting His disciples. And says, "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So I think that's what He wants to tell us today, to make sure that we do know the way to the place where He's preparing a place for us. We know the way to go. And then a little farther on here in verse 6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And if you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on," it says, "you do know Him and have seen Him." This is a good verse. If somebody asks you who Jesus is, well, He's God. Because Jesus is telling His disciples here, "Now that you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. We're one. We're the same." And on down in verse 15, Jesus promises here the Holy Spirit. He says, "If you love Me, you will obey what I command." And I think this is the most important thing that we need to remember today, that obedience is one of the things that so often is left out of the church, is not that we don't pay any attention to obedience. We think the church has preached over the years that by grace you are saved through faith, but they leave out the obedience part, that to get to that salvation, we have to obey what the Father wants. It's not like we can just do whatever we want just because we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Then comes obedience. Then we have to follow His commands. And that's what He wanted me to share with you today. It says, "If you love Me, you will obey what I command. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and is in you. So I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. Whoever has My commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves Me. He who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love him and show Myself to him." Jesus replied, "If anyone loves Me, he will obey My teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love Me will not obey My teaching. These words you hear are not My own. They belong to the Father who sent Me." All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to him, or I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Again, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. And all through Scripture, we see that God prepares His people ahead of time. He lets us know when something great is going to happen. And there's what He says here. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. So Jesus has prepared a way for us to come to the Father. And said it twice just in this one chapter. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You don't need to be anxious about it or wonder, but we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is coming to take us home. I want to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. So we're not, if the Lord comes while we're still living, we're not going to go ahead of those who have already fallen asleep, who have died in the Lord, but they're going to go up to be with the Lord, and we're going to be caught up with them in the air. Man, what a great day. Wouldn't it be awesome to see Jesus part the clouds and just be alive to see that? And here comes the Father. I've heard many, many people talk about being in a room with somebody who is passing away, and when they take their last breath, there's a smile on their face, there's just a glory in the room. They see the Father when He calls them home. And I'm anxious, you know, for that day. It'd be awesome to be alive and to see the glory of the Lord coming in the clouds. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, he says, encourage each other with these words. So we're going to be caught up with the dead in Christ in the air to meet with the Lord. He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. It says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And probably many of you have seen or heard, I've seen even headlines in the paper with people talking about the day of the Lord is coming. And you hear people saying it on the news and in different circles, the day of the Lord is going to come in a certain time in next week or next month, and are you ready for it? And yes, I'm ready, but how do you know it's coming then? Because my Bible says that none of us will know the day or the hour. So when somebody says that they know the exact time, be cautious what they're saying, because it doesn't line up with what the Bible says. Because the Bible says here that it will come like a thief in the night. That means we're to be prepared for it, but we don't know when it's going to happen. All of us try to prepare against thieves and lock our doors. We lock things in safe places and to prepare against somebody coming in and taking our possessions. So we prepare against that. We don't know when they're coming. They don't announce it. Put an ad in the paper, we're going to come to your house on March the 15th and at 7 o'clock, so be ready for us. They don't say that. They just break the door and come in, don't they, Jess? When you least expect it. They don't announce that. And we'll not know that. And I didn't look where it is, but there's one spot in the Word of God that says that Jesus doesn't even know, only the Father knows the day and the hour that He's going to return for His church. It says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So He's prepared the way before us. He's got the time set up. He knows what He's doing, and we don't have to worry about it. And I thank the Lord that we don't have to be anxious about it at all. Let's go over to 2 Peter now. Chapter 3. Second Peter 3, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." And that's why I started out in Malachi. I wanted you to see the prophecy announcing or telling us of the second coming, the coming of Jesus Christ, the great day of the Lord. And here He's talking about it again. He told us about it through prophecy. It's something that we know about. We know it's going to happen. It says, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And I've heard the scoffers myself. When is it going to happen? You know, we've been hearing about the last days. I've been hearing about it for 64 years. That Jesus is coming. And yes, he is. And here's what's neat about it. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed in the time of Noah. It says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? God's timing and ours is so different. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So he's allowing time for everyone to repent and come to a saving knowledge in Jesus of Jesus Christ and to be his child. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and to speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So it's not going to be here anymore. When Jesus comes, we'll be leaving this earth because it's going to get burned up. It's going to be melted. Not going to be here anymore. But he's got a place prepared for us. Somewhere in the heavens. I don't know where that is. I expect it's up somewhere. Because he says he's going to be coming in the clouds. So that's above me. That's why I suspect it's up. But we can know with certainty that he's coming. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters. Speaking in them of these matters, his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may be carried away, may not be carried away by the error of lawless men. Fall from your secure positions, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And then you can't really talk about the second coming without going to Revelations, and I went clear to the last chapter of Revelations. I wanted to see what Jesus said about the second coming there, and in chapter 22, beginning at verse 12, he says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So we will be judged from what we've done. We have to give an account. But just remember that our sins, he doesn't remember. I think this is going to be, we're going to be judged on what we do for the kingdom. Because it says in the Word of God, when we receive him as our Savior, that he forgets our sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west. And I don't know if you've ever looked at a globe, but the east and west doesn't ever come together on the globe. It just goes on. And so it's a long ways that he removes our sins from us. We shouldn't remember him either, because he doesn't. But it says, my reward is with me, and I give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may go through the gates into the city. It says, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts and sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. So this is the very last words that were written in the Word of God, and they were written about his coming again for the church. So we can be sure that he's coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. And I'm starting to understand a little more his timing. When I was young, it seemed like it would be a long time till I was 65, and I'm almost there. And it's been such a short time since I was little, since I was a youngster, and I can still remember those days well. But, you know, our time here is so short, guys. It's just, and the Word describes it as a vapor. It's just, we're just here for a little bit, and then we'll be in eternity. And if you can relate the time that you've had in life till now to living forever, then you can understand a little bit how 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Time means nothing to the Father. Eternity. Think about eternity a minute. We're here just that long, and then we're in eternity forever. It's going to be awesome. In Mark, I think it's chapter 13 of Mark. I didn't write this down, but I think that's where it is. If you want to look there sometime this afternoon, it says that before he comes, that the gospel will be preached to all nations. So everybody's going to know who Jesus is and why he is, and that he's coming again before he comes. Being in the Gideons, I've paid attention to, and I've used this in my examples a lot of times. I've paid attention to when we began in the Gideons in the '90s. We were in maybe 90 or 91 churches or 91 countries, Now the Gideons are in over 200 countries around the world with the gospel, taking the gospel there. We've got in our daily Bible readings, we have a calendar where we pray for all the different countries that we're in, plus we pray for the countries that we're not in yet, and there's only like 17 countries that we're not in yet. And these are communist countries that don't want the Word of God in, or they're countries where Jesus Christ is not preached at all. Arab countries that don't believe in Jesus Christ. They want to kill us as Christians. And so we've not been able to establish Gideon camps in those countries yet. I believe that that will happen before the coming of the Lord, before that great day of the Lord comes. Because it says in His Word that before I come, Jesus will be preached to all nations. So the sooner that we get out and share the Word of Christ with everyone and allow our neighbors and friends to come to know Jesus Christ, the sooner He'll be able to come back for the church. So He's really leaving it up to us, isn't He? So when are you going to get down to business and do what I've called you to do? Make disciples and be disciples to one another. So the day of the Lord is coming. He wants us to be aware of it and to be aware that we have to walk in obedience to be found faithful when He comes. So this morning, as the praise team comes and brings us another song, if you have anything that you'd like to pray with us about, come and do that. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, I challenge you to come and do that so that you're ready when the day of the Lord does happen, because it is coming, and it's coming soon.
Church, my sister had a baby Tuesday, and she's recovering from a C-section.
Okay. All right.